He was a handsome man. He had everything in the world going for him. One day, he got up and didn't really think anything was going to change in this one particular day, but he couldn't help but look out the way from his house, and down the street was a very attractive woman. Didn't really know all the information about her, but knew she was attractive. And he got some friends of his together and said, "Do you know who that woman is down the road?" And they told him his name, and you know, he seemed to have his whole act together. He was intelligent, smart, bright. It even seemed that he loved the Lord. But after he found out who she was, he couldn't help but just think about her. Later on that day, he couldn't help but get with her. Not just talk to her, but one thing led to another. One other thing led to another. Then before the day was out, he and she would be alone. And they would both hurt their lives by committing a sexual act that they neither one of them thought would take place at the beginning of the day. The story that I've just shared with you happens time and time and time again in the world that you and I live in. Part of the story that I've shared with you, you can find also listed in Scripture. It's found in 2 Samuel. Because the reality of the world you and I live in is this. We live in a world of temptation that's all around us. You don't have to live very long. You don't have to walk very far. You don't have to be around a whole lot of people to find out we live in a world of temptation. But let me ask you this question. As you take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Samuel, what do you do when it comes to avoiding the danger zones when it comes to temptation? You know, if there's one thing Satan wants to do with your life, it's this. He wants to devastate your life. If he can use sex to do it, he'll bring somebody into your life that all of a sudden there's that lure and that lust and that yearning for somebody of the opposite sex. And if there is any temptation that Satan uses in the culture and the day and time in which we live, there is nothing any more powerful and pervasive than the temptation whenever it comes to sex. In 2 Samuel chapter 11 is the story, what I just shared with you in part. But it's the very revealing story of King David. If there was anybody who had a love for the Lord God in the Old Testament, who had more of an intimate knowledge of the Lord God, it would have been David. There's not hardly a person, if you're a child of God, but what you've turned from time to time to the book of Psalms, because there's something about the life, the heart of David that speaks during the difficult times in life. And yet the reality of David's life is this. One day he woke up. He didn't really think about what was going to take place in the day in which he lived, that particular day, but when night fell, he found that he had hurt his life. He had had sex with a woman that he had seen from a distance by the name of Bathsheba, all because he failed to do one thing in his life. He failed to avoid the danger zones. Now, I want you to turn in your copy of the Scripture to 2 Samuel chapter 11, because I want us to look at this passage of Scripture and analyze some of the things that are in it in line with avoiding the danger zones of temptation. The Bible says these words, "And it came to pass after the year was expired at that time when kings go off forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Raba. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in at eventide that David rose from off his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after this woman. And one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers to her, took her, and she came into him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned into her house, and the woman conceived, and sent and told David and said, 'I am with child.'" Now if you'll turn over to the New Testament book of Ephesians, I want you to look in two verses of Scripture in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Paul is talking, and no doubt Paul knows very well the life story of David and his failure and his fall, and he's talking to the saints of God at Ephesus. And listen to what he says to them very clearly and very concisely. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 15 and 16. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Listen to it one more time. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. If there is one thing you need to understand about temptation, it's this. You're going to have temptation. Temptations are going to come into your life. They're going to be very real. They're going to be very powerful. And Satan is going to do everything in his power to bring temptation into your life. It is an unwise and a foolish person not to own up to the fact of temptation. But what I want to do this morning in this message is deal with the reality. How do you avoid the danger zone in temptation? You're not going to live this world and in this life without facing temptation. Some of you faced some very serious and real temptations this past week. Only God and you knew what they were, but still yet they're very real and very powerful. Now, if you're a child of God, you need to understand this, that Satan cannot stand you because you're a child of God. You have a relationship with God, so he is going to launch temptation after temptation after temptation at you in your life. Why? Because he knows that he can't get God. So what he loves to do is try to get you and me to fall and blunder and blow it. And the reality about the story that I shared just a few moments ago and the life of David, there's a lot of people today that are doing just that. Why? They don't wake up planning on getting in trouble. They don't get up saying, you know what, I want to wreck and ruin and hurt my life today. But the reality of it is there are a lot of people who do that because they never plan on how to stay out of trouble. In other words, they never develop a biblical frame of reference how to prevent the temptations to come in life. So in the context of that, we want to look at this passage of Scripture because why was it that David committed sexual sin, number one, when he didn't have to? I mean, you think about, now he is a human being and human beings have appetites. Well, there's only one problem with that. You have to go back to the Old Testament and also and look in Genesis, and Joseph, a man who preceded David whenever it came to line and lineage and birth. And yet there was a woman in the life of Joseph who was Potiphar's wife. And yet in Potiphar's wife, and she tried to seduce Joseph, he said no, he resisted, he didn't fall sexually. So how did Joseph do it and David didn't? Why is it that one man does not fall, though he's tempted with other individuals, and one man does fall? Why is it that one woman gives in to temptation when there's another woman that she, you know, learns to defend herself whenever it comes to temptation? Much of it has to do with learning to avoid the danger zones in temptation. Now, I want to say this at the very beginning of the message. If you do not take this message to heart and don't take the reality about temptation to heart, there is going to come a day you're going to be tempted, you're going to blunder, you're going to fall, and you're going to say, my Lord, what have I done to my life? What have I done to my home? What have I done to my wife? What have I done to me? What have I done to my children? And you think, well, God, why didn't God help me? One of the reasons is this. God will not make you resist temptation. He will empower you if you want his help. But it's amazing how many people name the name of Jesus, name the name of the Lord, and yet they fall, they blunder, they get into all sorts of temptations, and they mess up their life. So I want you to follow along with me this morning because we're going to deal with how do you avoid the danger zones of temptation. Well, first and foremost, there is something that is very significant in the life of every one of us that has to take place. And when it does not take place, we're going to blunder. The first thing that happens when we do fall and get into situations is simply this, a refusal to admit areas of weakness. Now, one of the realities in the life of David, the Bible says it was that time of the year when people were going off to war and David was up on the top of his house and he was looking over the horizon and looked probably different directions. And then he saw this woman. He didn't really know her, but the Bible says that one thing began to another, led to another, led to another. Now, listen to me very carefully. And here's the context of Scripture. One of the realities every man, woman, boy, and girl is there are those propensities and weaknesses in our life whenever it comes to temptation. Listen, according to 2 Samuel, David had sexual weaknesses. Now you look in this passage, why did he call on her? Why didn't he just go back inside, mind his own business, and go about life as usual? One of the realities is David had a sexual weakness in his life, and you read the rest of the story. He called unto her, and maybe in the weakness of his moment, he thought, this will satisfy my appetite. This will satisfy maybe something that he was feeling that he needed some help in. But the Bible makes it very clear. Now, you say, well, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the day and time we live. You're exactly right. There's a lot of wickedness going on. You can't hardly watch it. a decent TV show for seeing a lot of things going on television. But here's the reality. If you're a child of God, God lives on the inside of every one of us if you're saved by the grace of God. And in the life of David, you know, no doubt he thought, well, here I am, I'm the king. And probably nobody's going to know about what's going to go on, what's going to happen. So one thing led to another, led to another, led to another, and visual became something else. And finally he decided that, you know, go get this woman, bring her into me. After all, I am the king. Now, listen carefully. God makes it very clear that we are going to face temptation. There is no temptation taken you, but such is common to mankind. In other words, you're going to be hit with temptation. You're going to be hit. Every one of us are going to be hit with temptation. A wise married couple, will be sensitive to one another because we live in that culture. We live in that day. And one of the realities that takes place when we get into messes, when we get into trouble, is this. There is that refusal to admit an area of weakness. Not a single person that I know that has fallen spiritually, but what somewhere down the road, they didn't believe it could happen to them. You may be sitting here this morning, you think, well, you know what, I would never do this, I would never do that, I would never do the other. And Satan has a way of trying to lead us, well, you're an exception to the rule. You know, if you flaw, it won't hurt you the same way it hurt that person over there. You're the exception. There is nobody that is an exception when it comes to breaking the laws of God. Let me ask you a question. If I accidentally fell off this podium right here and, you know, got my foot caught and couldn't hold myself, would the law of gravity work for the preacher as well as the member? Sure it would. Would I probably break my neck? Well, may not break my neck, but I might break my hand, my fist, and or something like that. Why? Because you know what? The law of gravity is in effect. If I said, watch this, I'm going to jump down there, you'd see the law of gravity. Well, I'm not going to do that because you know the law of gravity is at work. Now listen. God makes it very clear. Don't you be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man, what's the next word? Soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, you need to ask this question. Am I taking measures when it comes to my area of weakness? You know what your area of weakness is. I don't have to tell any one of you what your area of weakness is whenever it comes to temptation. Here's why. You know your given area of weakness. Because you know what you're more prone to, you know what you're more susceptible to. And yet in the life of David, one thing he didn't do, he didn't prepare for that day. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians. Listen to what he says, and I love the way it's put in the Living Bible. He says, be careful how you act. These are difficult days. Don't be fools, be wise. Paul is saying to those saints in Ephesus, he says, listen, just as sure as David was tempted, just as sure as anybody's tempted, you need to be wise. You need to have consciousness about you. Listen, you're not being less of a Christian by admitting that you have weaknesses. We live in this human body. You have a flesh about you. You're not perfect. None of us are perfect. We're never going to achieve sinless perfection on this earth. It is a wise man, it is a wise woman that owns up and says, you know what? I admit this area of weakness in my life. I admit this area of weakness when it comes to my spirit. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to admit this about myself. Why? When you admit it about yourself, then that is the way you can begin to develop a defense. But here's the sad reality. I dare say many of you have probably never owned up to your area of weakness. And you know what happens? When you don't own up to it, you can't build a defense. I recall reading a story, and Dr. Stanley was sharing this, and some years ago, he and a friend was driving along, and this man's son was in the back seat. They just stopped and get a newspaper. And the man had his son get out and go get the newspaper. And Dr. Stanley was just sort of teasing this fellow and said, you're lazy making your son get out there. And he said, and after he went inside, he told Dr. Stanley why he could not go in. He said, I know who I am and I know what my limitations are. And there is something that gets my eye whenever I go in that store. And I've just made it my business not to go in. His son wouldn't have had any knowledge because he's just a little boy. But he said, I know my area of weakness. That was a man who was wise. It is a wise person that openly, honestly to themselves admits, this is my area of weakness. That is my area. What would have happened in the life of King David if he would have said, you know what, I can't do this. I can't allow this to go into my eyesight. Because just as sure as I watch this, one thing becomes another. And just as soon as he saw it, went back inside. What would the Bible have read? How would it have read differently? Well, you probably would have read that David didn't do what he did. He didn't sin. God didn't make him do it. God didn't endorse him to do it. We have it written in Scripture because it's a very factual story and you and I need to understand. But here's one of the most powerful men in the Bible, one who had a love for God, and he did not guard when it came to temptation. And here's the truth. If you don't own up to your spiritual area of weakness, who is? Who is going to know your weakness better than you? Who is going to know how to develop a defense? And you see, the reality about it is, when we fail to admit our weakness, you're playing right into the hands of the devil. Here's why. When you don't admit weakness, you never develop. You never develop that maturity. You never own up to it in prayer. You never get on your knees and say, Father, I'm just going to be honest with you. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes it's very wise to pray silently because there's nothing in the Bible that says Satan can hear you audibly. When you pray mentally and you say, Lord, and you're praying, there's nothing in Scripture that says Satan can read your mind. So you need to be honest with yourself about your temptation, but don't give Satan ammunition that he don't have. Tell the Lord in your mindset. So if you're going to learn to avoid the danger zones, number one, own up to your area of weakness. Listen, I can't say it enough. I can't say it enough times in this message. If you don't own up, you're doomed to have a devastation in your life. So not only that, number one, but second of all, refuse to rationalize our behavior. Now, watch very carefully. If there is ever one thing that unlocks the door of one temptation after another temptation to become sin, it's this. Well, after all, it's not that bad. This is a true story. A boss was looking for a secretary, and his agency was without a particular secretary, and it was a legal firm. And his responsibility was to interview individuals and to hire the right person. He had interviewed a number of individuals. And all of a sudden, there was this one lady walked into the office to be interviewed, very attractive woman. And he thought the interview was over, but when he saw her, the interview's prolonged. He thought, you know what? She would fit the bill. He let one thing go to another, and after a while, he didn't come home when he should. And he started celebrating Secretary's Day. They hired her, and he started going and picking out cards. And here's what he would say. Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with picking out a card for someone. Nothing wrong with picking out a card for a secretary. And they'd start having lunch together. This is a true story. Lunch became something else, and they had supper together. And slowly but surely, over a period of time, this man lost his marriage, he lost his home, he lost his wife, all because he rationalized his behavior. Now, listen very carefully. In the life of King David, in 2 Samuel, one of the things that he said to himself was basically this. Well, after all, I'm the king. And after all, you know, a body has needs. After all, and the Bible goes on and records exactly what took place. And here's the reality. David was not wise enough. He wasn't thoughtful enough to refuse to rationalize. You see, when you rationalize, you're opening the door to all sorts of temptations. Let me give you an example. Suppose you're going on a diet and you're going to lose weight. You've determined, I'm going to lose some weight, but here is your tremendous weakness. You love ice cream. You can't stand to, you know, I mean, you see a scoop of ice cream in front of you, and I mean, it's gone before you realize it. Or you can't hardly even go in a grocery store because you always stop at the ice cream. Well, you've got a friend who wants you to go to maybe Baskin and Robbins or someplace like that, and you're on a diet, you're doing good, you've already lost 10 pounds, and you've not been tempted with ice cream. And so you think, well, what's wrong with going to an ice cream parlor? Nothing's wrong with going to an ice cream parlor. Nothing's wrong with having ice cream, but here's the thing that a wise person will do. Here's this person that said, you know what, if I go, I have a tendency, I crave ice cream, I can't do without ice cream, then here's what they're going to do. What is the wise thing to do in light of your situation? What is the wise response whenever it comes? Listen, meet someplace else or meet afterwards. A person who is serious about their walk. Now listen carefully, and let me ask you a question, and you a question, and you a question. Are you serious about your spiritual walk? Nobody will be serious for you. Nobody in the world can be serious for you. And the reality is, the moment we rationalize, the moment we say, well, you know, that's the world we live in. Let me ask you a question. Where in the Bible does God rationalize one act of disobedience and allow it? Nowhere. Nowhere in the Bible And you see, here's the reality David found. Didn't matter how many people were doing what they were doing, his was a sin against holy God, and he would come to realize that rationalizing his behavior, surrendering his appetite to this sexual situation, down his life would go. And if you want to read the horror story of what happened, you can read the life of David, because it reads like a soap opera. One emotional hell led to another emotional hell led to another emotional hell. And finally, it just one sorrow after another. His own son, Absalom, ended up dead. Amnon raped Tamar. And, there was a horrible situation. Bathsheba became pregnant. Bathsheba's son became pregnant. David would know the horror of standing beside a little bitty baby, and in the eighth day of that baby's life, that baby dying. And someone may say, now, David, what does this get you? What are you learning from all of this lesson? Listen, sometimes we flirt with temptation because we think it's no big deal. Listen, the Bible says temptation, yielding to temptation, always leads to sin. And sin always brings about death of some kind, because the Bible says the wages or the paycheck for sin is what? Death. In other words, when you decide, well, I'm not going to build a defense, I'm going to rationalize my behavior, you're going to die in a relationship. Your marriage may end up dead, you divorced and separated, relationship with parents, relationship with mother and father, relationships all over. Listen, one of the things that David failed to do in this story, he rationalized. If you're going to build a defense, and if I'm going to build a defense whenever it comes to temptation, refuse to rationalize your behavior. Refuse to rationalize your behavior. Listen, Paul made it very clear, therefore, walk circumspectly. In other words, based on everything that he said, why should I walk circumspectly? Well, let me ask you a question. What happens when people get involved sexually outside of marriage? Look at the world you and I live in. Look at how many lives are messed up. Look at how many homes are messed up. What do you want for your life? And you see, the reality of it is Satan will always lie to you and tell you this won't happen and that won't happen. And when the end comes, he's laughing because your life's been devastated. Your life's been saturated with pain and agony. And that's the reality of Scripture. And so one of the things that must happen in your life, in my life, refuse to rationalize their behavior. The very call of God to Paul. Walk circumspectly. Walk correctly. You know, Bible makes it very clear that we're to walk correctly. We're to be wise. You know, the Bible never answers the question, how far can I go and sin? I've had a lot of people through life say, now, Pastor, answer me this. How far can I go in this and it not be a sin? Sometimes people will ask me that about drinking. They'll say, Pastor, how far can I go in drinking and not get drunk and it not be a sin? And I won't go there because, for one thing, Scripture never goes there. You say, why don't you go there? Because Scripture don't even think about going there. The Bible says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of what? God. Let me ask you a question. How can you hold something in your hand to the glory of God that's some type of alcoholic beverage? How can you hold that in your hand? Somebody else looks at your life, they see you, and you name the name of Christ, and you say, well, what's wrong with this? The Bible never goes there. Why? Is that bringing honor and glory to the Lord God? I saw someone some years ago and never dreamed that I would see them holding something in their hand like that. Do I still love them? Absolutely. Do I still care about them? Absolutely. Do I have the greatest respect for them that I had before? You can answer that question. Here's the reality, friend. You and I someday will stand in the presence of the Lord God. Amen? And you know what? When you walk wisely and circumspectly and you walk carefully in this life, then whenever you get ready to leave this life, there's no regrets. You say, well, now everybody's got some regrets. I can honestly tell you, I believe I know a few people in life. They don't have any regrets. Now, they're not the most intelligent people in the world, but you know what? They was very serious about their walk with God. I never will forget, I think it was one of Charlotte's grandparents. Back in the day and time when even cards were looked at, they wouldn't let somebody come in their house with a deck of cards. You know, I mean, that's back some time ago. But they stood on values. Listen, it is a wise man who says, you know what, here's my limitation, and I can't be put in the company of someone else, especially if it's a woman, because I know my weakness. It's a wise woman who says, I can't put myself in this situation because I know my area of weakness. Listen, it is a wise person who, first of all, refuses to rationalize when it comes to their behavior. Why? Because, listen, the Bible says in Joseph's life in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, here was Potiphar's wife, and I really believe Joseph felt like, if I stay here in her presence, it's not going to be a good thing. And so the Bible says that he ran, he got away. Sometimes you might need to run out of a situation just to protect your life and your character. Listen, nobody will protect you but you. And that's why you need to be sensitive. You need to be very conscious about what you do, where you go, your actions, and all the things you do in your life. Why? Because Satan is just waiting to waylay you. And you don't have to be 20 or 30. Listen, people 50, 60, 70, 80 end up devastating their life. So number two, refuse to rationalize your behavior. Number three, refuse to walk on the line of danger. While Paul is speaking to the saints in Ephesians 5, he simply says, therefore. Now, what's it therefore? He says, based on everything I've said, Paul says, you want to take your life seriously, therefore, listen to what I'm saying. How many people have you known that walked on the line of danger and all of a sudden they toppled over? Whether it be in something, whether it be sensual, or something else, financial. Some people can't be alone with money because it finally gets the best of them and it absorbs them, it consumes them. In the life of David, he made it very clear. Walk circumspectly. In other words, don't flirt with danger. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. One of the most foolish things that a Christian can do, you're in the presence of somebody else, maybe it's the opposite sex, and you just convince yourself that, you know what, that's not going to faze me. One thing becomes another, becomes another, becomes another in the fabric of your mind. You be very careful. Why? Because it is a serious thing whenever you flirt with danger. It's a serious offense. Listen, David could have turned around and walked back inside. Let me ask you a question. Think about this. Why didn't he? Why did David not turn around and go back inside? Let me give you one real simple, serious answer. He did not want to. Think about it. If he'd wanted to, he would have. Let me show you. I want to be on the other side of this podium. I want to be over there. Oh, I really want to be over there. Now, some of you say, well, Pastor, if you do, just turn around, move your foot, and go over there. You know what we do to ourselves? We trick ourselves. We deceive ourselves. And say, well, you know, I want to resist. Listen, you cannot toy with temptation long without it devastating your life. You know what the Bible says? Bad company corrupts a good character. Paul, in talking in Corinthians, he said, be conscious. Listen, constantly putting yourself in company with bad people, it will corrupt your character. That is a law. That's a principle. Let me ask you a question. If I ask somebody to come up here, and if I ask Byron, I said, now, Byron, we're going to have a contest. I want to see if I can pull you up here or see if you can pull me down. Who do you think is going to win? Well, I might get Byron partly, but I guarantee you he's going to get me down. Listen, it's easier for somebody to pull you down. That's why you need to guard what you're doing. You need to guard who you're with. Don't flirt on the line of danger. And some of you are here today and you think, well, you know what? This person don't bother my life. And all of a sudden you're doing what they're doing. You're behaving the way they're behaving. You're living the way they're living. Why? Because bad company, they're a dangerous person to be around. And one of the things that any good godly parent does whenever they're training their children, you know, don't let your deeds be evil spoken of. In other words, guard who you're around. Guard who you're with. David could have walked back inside, but he didn't want to. Now listen, you don't have to guard from temptation. I want you to listen to me very carefully, and don't you wake up in the middle of what I'm getting ready to say. You can surrender to temptation all you want to. You can give in to sin if you want to. You can even let sin destroy your life. But you don't have any say-so over the consequences. There have been many people who've said, I don't know what happened to my life. Yes, you do. Listen, God didn't put your head on top of you to live in neutral. God does not want you living in neutrality whenever it comes to temptation. Use the God-given mind that he's given you when it comes to resisting, or you'll end up like David. There have been only God knows how many people, one man and this woman got pregnant, and he said, I don't know what happened, why we did what we did, because they didn't think. They didn't apply the Word of God. You know many people who've fallen. I know many people who've fallen. And some of them are good people. They say, why do they do that? Because they don't use their God-given mind. Listen, guard your affections. And one of the realities whenever it comes to temptation, we have to be wise whenever it comes to, you know, living on the line of danger. And sometimes we have to take radical steps. Let me give you an example. If you're living in a situation and you go to work every day and somebody of the opposite sex is continually flirting with you and courting you and wanting you to do something, you need to ask this question. Is it significant enough for me to hang on to my job to potentially lose my character? Let me tell you this, in the 30 years that I've preached and I've pastored, listen to me carefully. One of the things that intrigues me is how lightly we take temptation. How lightly we take the temptations that come. Well, God understands. Let me ask you a question. When Bathsheba called for David and said, David, I'm pregnant, what do you think he might have thought? Why did I do this? What was I thinking? What was I thinking in my mind? You see, God reveals in this one story, you can be the king, you can even have a heart for God and not use your mind in the area of temptation. Nobody was around to prevent David. Nobody was there to be his voice piece. And you see, the thing about it is nobody knows what goes on in the fabric of your mind, do they? Nobody knows what's happening in the privacy of your heart and your mind. Nobody sees what goes on in private in your being, do they? But yes, there is. When I realize that my Holy Father loves me, He's not going to jump on me in temptation, but here's what I'm going to do. Benny, I know your area of weakness, and I want you to be sensitive to your area of weakness. Father, and you just start trusting, calling on Him, depending on Him. And you see, that's what He wants. He wants us to be sensitive to our area of weakness. He wants us to be sensitive to the danger zones. And then lastly, refuse to ask, how far can I go as a Christian? One of the many reasons Christians find themselves in dangers. I'm sure David was, after all, what's wrong with this? Listen, he wouldn't have done it if he didn't come to some type of mental agreement inside of himself. This is okay to do. What have you almost done that you almost came to mental decision? It's not that bad. God will forgive me of it. Please hear me very carefully. Yes, God forgives. But God never will erase your consequences. Your consequences will be with you all your earthly life. You say, well, I thought God loved me. Yes, He does love me. He loves every one of us. But you see, here's the reality. Sometimes we don't believe what Scripture says. If we did, we'd realize, don't you trick yourself or don't you allow the devil to trick you. Whatever you sow, that you'll reap. You sow to temptation, you yield to temptation, you're going to reap. And guess what? You yield to temptation. I've had parents who say, I don't know why my child is doing what they're doing. And when they're honest enough and open enough with me, I'll say, what did you do at their age? And they'll put their head in their hand. Pastor, I was exactly where they are. Don't you dare allow yourself to be tricked, deceived. What you sow, you will get to reap. And you see, here's the reality. We reap it in our lives. We reap it through our children. Some of you are sitting here and you're thinking, I don't know why my children are doing what they're doing, why they did what they did. What did you do when you was their age? How was you living? Well, I didn't know a whole lot about the Lord. But a lot of things we don't do because we choose not to do. We choose not to go to church. We choose not to open the Bible. We choose not to read the Word. We choose. That don't change the reality. And you see, in the life of David, one thing that he didn't ask the wise question, what is the right, wise thing to do? How far can I go? What can I do? The call is never for us to ask the question, how far? Some of you are asking that question in the fabric of your mind. How far can I go? But here's the problem you're going to always have. You'll never find an answer in the Bible because it's never there. The issue is never how far can you go, but what is the wise thing to do? What's the wise thing to do in temptation situation? What's the wise thing to do whenever it comes to your situation? A wise person will always ask, somebody did this before? What happens when a man and a woman get together outside of marriage? What happens on the stage that we know of as the world scene? What happens? You've seen people. What does it do? It blows up in their face. Do you want your life to self-destruct? Do you want your life to blow up? Do you want your marriage to blow up? But it's amazing how the devil gets us to believe, well, that happened to other people. It won't happen to my life. Friend, I'm here to tell you, yes, it sure will. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 50, 60, 70, 80 years. I know of a pastor, and if I call the city and call the name, you may know him. He had to resign his church, lost his character, lost his integrity, and he was a leader in his denomination. And he ended up working in a grocery store in the meat market. Why? Because somewhere along the way, he thought, you know what? God loves me and I won't fall. But here's the reality. Anybody can fall if you don't develop a defense. If you don't develop a defense in your life, you can fall. But here's the worst part about it. You will fall. In one of the churches that I was a part of years ago, pastor was probably one of the leading pastors in our, not only our state, but in the denomination. And something happened in his life. One of the most intelligent men I guess I've ever been around to hear. But something happened in his life. Evidently, he reached a point in his own heart that he was at a pinnacle, maybe like David. And all of a sudden, his relationship with his wife ended up in divorce. And one of the most promising men in that day and time ended up working in a funeral home. But the reality of it is, somewhere along the way, he didn't develop a defense against the dangers of temptation. Just as sure as I'm standing here, here's what I know. Some of you will not do it. I know what I've preached in the last short period of time. You won't do it. Some of you, 15, 20 years from now, your life will have self-destructed right in front of you. Not because God wanted it, not because I wanted it, but because you decided you wasn't going to do the one thing that you needed to do. And you'll find your life imploding and exploding, all because you took temptation way too lightly. What are you doing when it comes to the temptations of life? Are you building a defense? Are you owning up to your weakness? Are you resisting temptation? Are you refusing to walk on the danger zones? It's a wise man and a wise woman that does. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this passage in Samuel that gives us wisdom to be sensitive and be honest and open to the fact that temptation hit Christians. They hit men and women of God. They hit all people of all ages. Father, we make a decision what we do with them. And Father, I pray for that person here this morning that's not building a defense against temptation. They're just living life. And someday, it's going to come spiraling down. Father, I pray for them. Lift them to you. And Lord, give us wisdom to know that we're all human. And we're wise when we own up to our weakness. Father, I pray for that person this morning that's without Christ, that doesn't have a relationship with God through Christ. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move, bring them to the point of salvation, is our prayer. In Jesus we pray.